All the Things podcast, hosted by Kelly Treadway. Welcome to the Teaching All the Things podcast. I'm your host, Kelly Treadway. Today, we are talking about the purpose of this podcast. I will share a little bit about me and what my goal is with this podcast. After that, we will discuss the first 3 years of teaching. I was able to do some polls on Instagram from teachers who follow me, and I was shocked at some of the answers they responded with. So I want to share all of that with you and talk about teaching, because I love teaching. So let's get started. I'm Kelly Treadway. I am a fairly new teacher. I'm going into my fourth year of teaching. So that is obviously why the first 3 years are very interesting to me. And I wanted to see what others' experience was with that. I absolutely love the teaching profession. There are so many things about it that are beautiful, and they really are my favorite parts. They make it so that I want to continue teaching. If you're a teacher, you know what I'm talking about. You know, the light bulb moments, the moment when a student comes to you when they need help because they trust you. Seeing them smile in the morning when they come into the building. Being a part of kids' lives, it is so rewarding. However, there's a lot of parts to teaching that are just frustrating, just really frustrating. So the purpose of this podcast is really to talk about the realities of teaching, what it's like on the positive side of it, and what it's also like on the very frustrating side of it. So there's going to be a lot of things we're going to dive into. So I hope you stick around and check back in for all of the episodes. When I was doing my student teaching, I was in a cohort, and there was a group of us who would meet, and we would discuss ethics, we would discuss motivation, we would discuss practice, pedagogy, all those things. We would discuss all those things together. And our instructor recommended we watch the video by Rita Pearson, the one entitled "Every Child Needs a Champion," I believe is what it's called. I absolutely loved this TED Talk. And I loved it because it really connected to why I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher because I wanted to empower kids. I wanted to be a part of their lives. I wanted the relationship with these kids. That's why I went into teaching. So it was interesting for me when I first started teaching, with my rose-colored glasses on. I thought everybody felt the same way I did. And I thought relationship was always first to everybody. So when I started teaching and noticed that like other people had different motivations or different reasons, I was actually very surprised. I was like, why are you here then? If you're not here for a relationship, why are you here then? And in my naivety, I learned that people didn't need to be there for the same reason that I was. I learned to embrace the things about myself that made me a good teacher while also embracing what made other people a good teacher. And we each have something to contribute. And what I have to contribute might not look like the teacher next door. And that's okay. That's okay. This isn't a contest. This isn't a who's the best at this and that. That's not what it is. And that's one of the things in the teaching profession that is so difficult, actually, is when there becomes this competitive nature. And we will eventually talk about that, because that's one of the things that can contribute to, why am I doing this? Like, I don't do this for the adults in the room. I do this for the kids in the room, right? So that's really like where I'm coming from. That's kind of the song that plays in the background of my career. I I want kids to know that they come first to me. They come first to me over lots of things. some of you teachers are probably going to be like, what is she saying? But a lot of times kids, well, not a lot of times, all the time for me, the kids come before the academics, which sounds like really backwards if you're a teacher, right? It sounds backwards, but to the heart of it, I just feel like sometimes the academics get in the way of those basic needs, and those basic needs have to be met. And sometimes that falls on our educational system. Sometimes that falls on teachers. Do I think it should? No. But does it anyway? Yes. So anyway, that's where my heart lies. That's why I do what I do. That's why I'm sitting here in this upcoming fourth year of teaching and having this kind of mixed bag. I have like a mixed bag of feelings about teaching. So much love in my heart for kids. Just thinking about the kids I had this year even. I mean, all the kids I've had, but the kids I've had this year and the fact that because of this pandemic, I was only able to have a certain amount of time with them. It breaks my heart. I love them. I care about them. I stay up at night worrying about them. And I'm not alone. There's so many teachers who do that. But then on the other side of it, I'm looking at district, state, federal policies that hold me back from really doing my job, teaching well, loving well, caring well, and just how frustrating that can be. So I'm going to get into that. I hope you're here for it. Some of the things I say might be uncomfortable, and they're uncomfortable to make you mad. I want you to keep that in your mind, because I think it's really easy when we first hear something that maybe we disagree with, our impulse is to be frustrated or mad about it. And I get that. I have that too. So we all can relate. But sometimes things make us uncomfortable because it's maybe true and we maybe don't want to face it. Or something makes us uncomfortable because it's not true. So I want you to know that I'm not an expert. I'm just here living the life, right? So not everything I say is going to be, you know, exactly how it is. A lot of this is just my opinion and my experience. And I only see that from my lens. I don't see it from yours. So that's why I think it's important that I include other people in this podcast, especially students. That will also ultimately be my goal, is to have students give me their feedback, because I mean, isn't that who we're trying to impress? I would hope that's who we're trying to impress. One thing that I really, really loved my first year of teaching, we had these district trainings for new teachers that were just for the new first year teachers. And they had one where they had a panel discussion and a panel questionnaire with students. So they had a couple of teachers and they had about 5 or 6 students on the panel, and all us first year teachers could ask questions to these veteran teachers and these kids about their experience in school. And that was so amazing. Can I tell you how amazing it was? It was so awesome to ask questions to the kids the most, like better than asking other teachers, because I could ask this student, like, well, what do you think about that? And there were some things that they said that I was like, whoa, I didn't even think about that. Like, an example is a student said, he was a sixth grader, and he said, I do not understand why you won't let us eat in class. He's like, I get the whole, oh, we don't want to be messy. I get the whole, we don't want rodents, because that's the thing that happens. Or bugs, whatever. We don't want that. We get that. But if there is some procedure and rules that are followed, why can't we eat food during the day? And I was like, why can't they eat food during the day? That is one of those basic needs, right? Like, we need sleep. We need food. We need shelter. We need to be cared for. We need to connect with people, right? These are basic. We need these things. So if a kid's hungry, why can't they eat? So that's one thing that has stuck with me. Like, and obviously it depends on your students. Obviously it depends on your classroom. Obviously it depends on the rules that your administrator sets for you. But my argument would always be, if they're hungry, then eat. Or let's put times in there where they can snack. It is not that big of a deal. And you know what? The last 3 years, I have let my students eat in the classroom and it has been fine. Have there been times that I've had to go back and like reestablish routines and procedures? Yes. I have to do that with everything. I don't know if any of you've experienced this, but we go to Christmas break, we come back, they like have some like forget, I don't know if they drink like forget juice or they have Christmas forget cookies. I have no idea. But when they come back from Christmas break, they don't remember anything when it comes to the rules and procedures. And I've taught younger grades and upper grades, and I'm telling you that they, it's kind of all of them. So I just reteach it, right? Because everything's a teaching moment. Everything's practice. We just move forward. Okay. And my students have appreciated that so much. That's one thing that has built relationship. I know it sounds so silly, but it has, because I'm saying to them, I trust you to be clean with your food because you know that's the rule, but I'm also allowing you to have something you want. And it doesn't have anything to do with me. You want a snack, eat it. Even if I'm up there teaching math, if it's not distracting my class, if you're not throwing it around, if it's not causing a problem, if you're following the rules, why does it matter? It doesn't. Okay, so let me tell you, that for me has been amazing in relationship with these students. And it actually brought on a lot of conversations about rules, procedures, and food. And I will tell you this, it sure has pissed off a few administrators, however. But why does it matter? And that's always my argument to them, and they can never tell me. They can never tell me. So they weren't that pissed off because they continued to let me do it. So there it is. But that's just an example of something that I feel like students can give us feedback on. And I really, really hate the saying, we do it this way because we've always done it this way. Bull crap. No, we don't. We don't do it this way because we've always done it this way. We need to do it a certain way because it makes logical sense and because it benefits kids. Not because we've always done it that way. We don't live in 1950. We don't live in 1980. We don't live in 1990. Heck, we don't live in the early 2000s. We live in a completely different world now. That's way different than when I grew up, when you grew up, when we all grew up. Okay, even the way they're doing math. I mean, if I get one more parent that complains to me about Common Core math, I'll just tell you what. And then I have to explain to them that Common Core is actually just the standard and the math is really just conceptual math. They're actually different, but whatever. We're not even gonna go down that rabbit hole, right? So the world's different now. So we can't just say we do that because we've always done that. That is not, no, 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 no. And we also can't just say that. We can't say, oh, we don't use that phrase and then just do that with our actions, because that's happened too. I've seen a couple of people who want to be innovative, who want to grow, but then when the rubber meets the road, it's like, that's uncomfortable. Okay. And it is what it is, right? There's a lot of things in education I can't control, and I can't control people's willingness to try something new or to understand that the rule doesn't make any sense. So that's where we're at. We're here. Okay. So that was like kind of a lot about me. Welcome. Welcome to my opinion. I want to move on to the next thing because I was actually super amazed by this. And it's something that has been on my mind my first 3 years, the whole time, because it is something that has impacted my career so much. And that's this first 3 years and like what that looks like for teachers. And if you've been teaching for a really long time, I'll tell you, this is one way that they've changed a lot of things. Okay. So there's some ways that they don't, that changing in education's like the slowest snail you've ever met. Like, hello, sloth. I can't get you to move. Okay. But when it comes to teacher licensing and teacher, evaluation, oh, it changes every year, doesn't it? Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny how that works, right? Them telling us if we're good enough at our job changes all the time. I mean, we get graded and scored all the time, but hey, you know, other things don't change. And budgets, those change all the time too. I live in Utah, and in Utah, we are like one of the lowest in the country for per student spending. So, and then they're talking about budget cuts again, and I'm like, really? Anyway, so I got on Instagram and I polled my followers and I wanted to see what their experience was like. And this isn't just from teachers who've only taught under 5 years. I had a lot of responses from teachers who had taught more than that. So let me go through some of the results that I got from this poll. There's lots of questions that I asked, and I was a little surprised by some of the answers on them. So let me see. Okay. So I asked my followers how many years they'd taught. That's the first question I asked. And I got lots of responses. 6, 19, 5, 20, 17, 24, 14, 11, 3. So I got a lot of responses all over the board. And I asked the question, do you feel like your first 3 years teaching were difficult? And 84% of those people polled said yes, that they felt like the first 3 years of teaching was difficult. Only 16% said no. So I had 46 people say, yes, it was difficult, and 9 people say no. Okay, so that's what people are saying about their first 3 years, right? And then I asked them why. Why or why not was it difficult? And I got a lot of responses there about feeling completely like inadequate, like not even knowing what they were doing, which I think is super common. I mean, unfortunately with teaching, it's like the only way to really know what you're doing is to do what you need to do. So like you have to jump in almost with both feet and do it. There's ways to make it easier, and we're going to get into that. There's ways that it can be smoother for a teacher, but you really don't know until you experience it. Okay. So I actually had a lot of people say as well that they did not have great collaboration with their team. Okay. Or it within their district. They didn't work well with their coworkers. And I was like, are you for real? I mean, I have had the same thing. I'm not going to talk bad about my coworkers because I have worked with some amazing people. However, I understand that. We don't all get along. There's so many personalities. And let's be real, in America, a lot of teachers are women. They are. That's just a fact. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. And when you put a lot of women in a room together with different opinions, you just see how that goes. You see how that goes. Yeah.
Yep. Teammates. And then the people who said it went well, they said it had to do with like the kids they had. That they had really great students. And they had very small class sizes and really great administration. So those are a couple of the things that people who said that they did not struggle their first 3 years had. They had great students, they had small class sizes, and they had great principals, which, I mean, that sounds amazing, you know? Okay, so the next question. Did you consider or decide to quit during the first 3 years? Because I don't know about you, but in my state, we have a teacher shortage. And there's like, I don't know the statistic. I would have to go look it up. But there is a very ridiculous statistic about the amount of teachers who quit within the first 5 years. Okay. So I asked, did you consider or decide to quit during the first 3 years? This one surprised me a little bit, but I don't know why it did. But 70% said no, and 30% said yes. 30% of the people I polled considered or did quit the first 3 years. You know what? I would have been in the yes category. I have considered it. I even asked my husband a couple weeks ago. I was like, honey, what other professions can teachers do? Like, and then I also was like, how much do DoorDashers make? These are questions that have happened. I blame it on pandemic. That's what I blame it on. But 17 people who responded said, yes, they've considered quitting or have quit. 39 said no. Okay. The next question. Did you have a mentor assigned to you the first 3 years? This question did shock me for real and for good reason. 56% said yes, and 44% of teachers said no. 44% of teachers did not have a mentor assigned to them their first 3 years. I found that shocking. I don't even know what to say. I was shocked by that because a mentor can completely change things for you. If you have a great mentor, it can flip everything up the right side. Okay. I was so blessed to have a phenomenal mentor. She was a retired teacher. She taught most of her career in the same grade level I was in. She connected with me personally. We would talk about life outside of that classroom. She was not in my school. I do wish it was someone in my school, that I had someone in my school, but she was not in my school. She would come visit me. The first year, she visited me weekly. The second year, she visited me every other week. And then the last year, I unfortunately moved schools and lost her as a mentor, and had to get a new mentor because of my location change. But my third year, the mentor came once a month. So by the third year, I was like, why are we doing this? I'm fine. It's fine. We're fine. But that first year, oh, I needed those weekly visits so bad. I needed that feedback so bad. I needed the resources she gave me so bad. I needed the chocolate she brought. I needed that chocolate. That was a thing. Okay, the next question. Okay, so let me go over the numbers. I had 29 people vote that they did have a mentor assigned to them. 23 did not have a mentor assigned to them. Okay, and then the next question was, do you feel like the district was supportive? Did you feel like your district was supportive? And I didn't do a yes, no on this. I kind of wish I would have, but I did get some responses and I got a lot of no's. I got a few, sort of. I had a really, really amazing comment from someone. She said, teaching is a swim or sink profession. The first year, you're just trying not to drown. And I was like, if that isn't the truth, girl, somebody give her a gold star. That is the truth. Okay. It is a sink or swim profession, which is sad. It shouldn't be sink or swim. It shouldn't be let's throw our first year teachers into the middle of the 10-foot pool, what, when they're 5 feet tall. I mean, no. I mean, you're really begging for a teacher shortage. That's the thing. I read a classroom management book once. I can't remember what it's called. If I remember it, I'll bring it up in the next episode. There was a book I was reading, and it said teaching your first year is like you're building a ship while sailing it. So you're like, you're building a ship while sailing it. And I want you to think about what that's like, especially like the first month when you have maybe like 2 feet built because the summer before school starts, you have no idea what you're doing. And sometimes people have time with their teammates and sometimes they don't. Like my first year of teaching, my teammates were no summer teachers. They did not work in the summer period, which I mean, I admire about them now, but then it sucked because when school started, I had to just go off of like what I thought might be reality. And I was way off. I was way off. It was kind of like, figure it out. Hi, Kelly, figure it out. And so that's what I did. So I had like 2 feet of my ship built and I'm supposed to sail this thing with 23 students on it. I'm like, hi, I know what I'm doing. I can do this. Like, and I think all teachers feel that way. I remember that first back to school night. I started crying. It's like 10 minutes until everybody got there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Oh, now I look back on that fondly. It's fine. It's going to be fine. I'll tell the Kelly of 3 years ago. It's going to be okay. Cause it was okay. But was it hard? Yeah. Could it have been easier? Yeah. Yeah, it could have been way easier. Okay, let's move on to the next question. The next question is, if you are currently teaching, are you happy with your decision? And so these are current teachers. They're like actually teaching right now. 88% said yes and 12% said no. I had 45 teachers say yes and 6 say no. I don't know about you, but I think 6 teachers is too many. Like 6 teachers who aren't happy with their decision is too many who are currently teaching. Isn't it so sad? We like spend all of this time working on becoming a teacher. We go through all the schooling. We do all the papers, all the writing, all the reading, all of the student teaching, the observing, evaluations. We jump through all the hoops, right? The millions of hoops it takes to become a teacher. We do that. And then to not be satisfied with your profession, that's a problem. And I don't know about you, but I don't know a ton of other jobs that my degree would help me qualify for. I really don't. Like online tutoring? I mean, what else is there? What else is there? I have an elementary education degree. I don't have a specialized degree in anything. So it's just, and a lot of teachers move on and get their master's degrees. And it's just, to not be happy in something you have to work so hard to become is not okay. So now that I've given you all these questions and all of the results of these questions, I want you to take this information. I want you to think about it because there's so much that we could change about how teachers enter the profession
and what that looks like.
So what does it look like? It looks like teachers coming in their first year feeling ready. It takes them being mentored by someone in the school, preferably on their team, who supports them before they begin. I know for me that first summer, if I would have had at least one teammate who would have really sat down, even on a weekly basis, and just went over some of the things that happen in the school, the procedures, the policies, how they are doing it, what resources they're using, and help me plan and just guide me through that, it would have made the world of difference. I would have felt way more confident in that. But it was always so awkward, and there was never any time took, and it wasn't required either. So really, our contracts started 3 days before school started, and my teammates just quickly taught me the procedures before school started. It wasn't like we even sat down and had a lot of planning time together. It was, collaboration is so important to first-year teachers. It's important to all teachers. Can I be real with you? Even you 25 and more years, can you take a hot minute and just think about the value that a first-year teacher brings to you? I know a lot of you are like, they don't bring a lot of value. Yeah, they do. Actually, they do. They have come right out of college with fresh ideas, and they're excited. Okay? You have to draw on that. You have to listen to what they're saying because they know too. They know too. They just haven't done it yet. And they just need someone to guide them. They need someone to tell them what works and what doesn't. And they need someone to do that in a loving way, not a I'm right and you don't know what you're doing type of a way. They need it in an I'm here to help you type of a way. So that's the first thing I would do is I would give teachers for the first 3 years, a mentor in their building. If the district wants to give them an outside mentor as well, great. I would almost even I just had an idea pop in my head and then I'm like, maybe that's not a great idea. Because then I was going to say, maybe you could wait and see who meshes well together. But teachers need help right away. So it's almost like you can't even wait for the mesh. You just got to jump in. And I think that people just need to understand that. Another thing that we need to do is we need to help teachers who are in their first 3 years feel needed and wanted. I have had some instances where I've really felt needed and wanted, that my opinion felt valued and where I was considered greatly, but there were also times where I didn't feel valued and I didn't feel heard. I know in the district that I'm in, they did not allow teachers within their first 3 years to have extra duties, which I get. They really do it to protect you so that you're not taking on too many things because, remember, you're still building your ship, right? But for the teachers who want extra duties, why not give them some? Like, I know for me, I needed those extra duties to feel like I was contributing to the community of teachers. I needed it to help me feel connected. I feel like my district did well on providing me trainings and a mentor. I feel like they had a great program. It wasn't always 100% consistent, but what is? I mean, so I would give them, a B+ with it, which I don't think is bad. I mean, compared to these other people who responded on my poll, that's great, right? The last thing, and this is actually, in my perspective, the most important thing, we need to find consistent and solid positions for teachers within their first 3 years. I could go on and on about this. And maybe I'm a little emotional about it because I was just displaced this year. But displacement or movement of teachers often within the first 3 years is detrimental to their growth. They need to establish roots in the profession. And to do that, they need to be around other teachers for a longer period of time than just one school year. They need an administrator that is dedicated to helping them be the best teacher that they can be. So moving them around, not a great idea. One episode, believe me, I will get into the whole seniority thing within education. Remember, this profession is about collaboration. It's about the kids. And it's about the kids for the first year teacher just as much as it's about the kids for the third year teacher. So embrace everyone in your school. Make sure that everyone feels comfortable and knows what they're doing. Let's help these teachers not quit. We don't want them to quit. It just makes things a lot harder. We want great people, and great people leave. They leave when they don't feel appreciated. They leave when they feel like they're talked down to. They leave when they're ignored. They leave when they aren't supported. They leave when they're emotional. So be the type of teammate or administrator who fosters growth in new teachers. That's really my challenge for you. Okay, that does it for the rest of this episode. Thank you so much for listening in. Please come and join me again.